Hey, Wire Monkeys, welcome to another episode of Let's Talk Cabling. This episode, we're diving into PoE. Welcome to the show where we tackle the tough questions submitted by installers, apprentices, technicians, project managers, estimators, customers, everybody. We are connecting at the human level so that we can connect the world. If you're watching this show on YouTube, would you mind hitting the subscribe button and that bell button to be notified when new content is being produced? If you are listening to us on one of the audio podcast platforms, please, please, please leave me a 5-star rating. And if you can't give me a 5-star rating, shoot me a message. Tell me what I have to do to make this a 5-star rated show. Those simple little steps helps me take on the algorithm, which helps me educate, encourage, and enrich the lives of people of the ICT industry. Thursday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. What are you doing? You know I do a live stream, right? Where you get to ask your favorite RCDD, and you know that's me. Don't even try to pretend I'm not your favorite RCDD. Questions about installation, design, certification, project management, estimation, even career path questions. But I could hear you now. But Chuck, I'm driving my truck at Thursday night at 7 at 6 p.m. I don't want to get into an accident. Relax. I record them, and you can watch the recorded version as well, so you still get to see the show. And finally, while this show is free, and it will always remain free, if you would like to support this show, would you click on that QR code right there? You can send me a cup of coffee. You can even schedule a 15-minute one-on-one call with me, after hours, of course. And we're always looking for corporate vendors as well for sponsors. Just remember, this is a vendor-neutral platform. So as I said, this episode, we're talking PoE. We're going to talk about some clear up some things that a lot of people get asked about that is not quite so clear. Can you exceed 100 meters? Is PoE used for other things? What's the future of PoE? Is PoE even being done outside the U.S.? Well, those are lots of questions. And while I could answer maybe some of them, I can't answer all of them. And you know me, I got lots of friends. So I brought in an expert panel on PoE, and let's get this going. Welcome, everybody. How you guys doing? Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having us.
Excellent. So let's just do round robin. Tell us who you are. Paul, we'll start off with you.
Hello, I'm Paul Weintraub. I head up the International Business Unit for Superior Essex Communications. And I've been around the industry for more than 25 years and really get involved in talking about PoE, some of the uses, where PoE is going installed. And one of the things you mentioned earlier, Chuck, is PoE being used outside of the U.S., and I can definitely affirm that it is.
Nice. Kim?
Yes, thank you, Chuck, for having me again. It's good to be back. I'm Kim Johnson. I'm the Chief Marketing Officer at MHT Technologies. We do smart building technology, which includes PoE lighting technology with the software and hardware components to make it happen. And I just finished up my term as the first president of the PoE Consortium in February. So I'm excited to continue to see that group grow. And certainly it wouldn't be a podcast with me if I didn't give the PoE Consortium a shout out and recommend you check them out too.
Absolutely. Miguel.
Hi. Hi, Chuck. Hello. Hello, Paul. Hello, Kim. Thank you for having me again. I'm Miguel Angel Ochoa. I'm a CEO from IT Terra. We are an ICT integrator in 4 countries in Latin America. I'm a big C RTDD, and I have experience in designing and project management about telecommunication integration of smart buildings. So, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Not a problem. I'm in great company. That's why I said it's, you know, my dad always used to say it's not about what you know, it's about who you know. And so I know lots of people, and I brought in the best. And like I said, PoE for the average field installer, they generally think PoE is just the cable going to that wireless access point, right? Or PoE going to a camera. PoE is a lot more involved in that. There's a lot more stuff going on. That's why I wanted to have this show to talk about all the different things can run over PoE, and guess what? There's other countries using it as well. So, Paul, we'll start off with you. Does PoE need a special type of UTP cable?
Well, that's a very good question, Chuck. PoE in essence, by the standard it was designed around. It was designed around using Category 5 cable when it originally came out. Now, that's evolved to where you can use Category 5E, 6, 6A, even Cat 7 cables. And so the essence is you've got power over Ethernet. So you've got two components. You've got power and you have the Ethernet signal. So that's why we're using Category cables to run PoE. So they're not really a special cable that needs to be used. You can use a Category cable, but you have to factor in some of the things that PoE may add, like to your bundle size for the cables, for heat dissipation and other factors when running PoE over the cable.
You know, you
I hope that answers that question.
Yeah, it did. You and I had a real interesting conversation before I hit the record button. I really should hit record button as soon as I get on, so that way I can capture this really cool conversations. But we were talking about Cat 3 cable, right? And I kind of mentioned, well, you know, Cat 3 cables kind of like disappear, but you working for a cable manufacturer said, well, wait, hold on a minute, Chuck. I'm still selling Cat 3 cable, but in places like, you know, Saudi Arabia and some other place like that as well. So I had no idea. I didn't even think they made Cat 3 cable anymore. But my question is, Cat 3 cable is 24 gauge, just like Cat 5e is. If somebody's got a small a network that's maybe 100 megabit, could they really maybe push PoE over Cat 3 cable?
Technically, yeah, technically you could push the power part. I'm not so sure about the signal. 100 megabit, Cat 3 was not designed for 100 megabit signal. So it was more designed around 10 megabit. So you might be able to get 10 megabit with power, and I'd be concerned with the 24 AWG size conductor on how far it will really go.
Gotcha. Good question. See, I have a tendency to think of questions as I'm going along. I forgot to forewarn you. Well, Kim and Miguel should know that because they've already been on the show before. I tend to think of questions off the top of my head. So, Kim, this question's for you. What kind of systems can somebody control with a PoE lighting platform?
So you can control the ones that probably come to mind already, right? So you already have security cameras, you already have your VoIP phones. Those are all going to be powered already with PoE devices. And then it's just a matter of what, you know, do you want to take things that are already being powered with PoE and also connect them to your PoE software through the data transmission side of what these cables can do? So, you know, that often is an integration you can consider and you can talk about. But when I look at the projects we're doing, there's obviously PoE lighting. It makes a lot of sense. LEDs have made it really possible to do almost any type of lighting design that you want in a space. So you're not limited anymore. And then it really makes sense. The next thing that made sense was adding sensors, not just occupancy, yes, no motion, but getting more granular in the sensing of who and what and the activity in a space. And then you move into, well, obviously, if you're already in the ceiling, you can go over and connect and power the shading systems. So that's increasingly something that we see as well. It's very rare today for us, at least at MHT Technologies, to see a project where we have PoE lighting and we don't have shading and sensors. And sensors can be humidity, temperature sensing, they can be all those environmental sensors. They can actually do people counting, and we can set up automations based on people. They can do light lux levels. So you can start to get into changing your lighting, your shading, your room, your environment based on the light levels that are there for maybe the natural lighting world. So if you imagine what sunny days and cloudy days can do to a space. So I would say really you're getting to the point where if it's something that consumes electricity, it is something that can become an IoT device, either through a software application, if it's not at the the power requirements for to be powered by PoE, but it can be connected to your PoE solution in a building. I the only limitation today is just stuff that hasn't been done before. So you're getting into some really interesting, unique use cases that are pushing the boundaries of what PoE can do. And that's pretty exciting.
It is. And that's why I wanted, one of the reasons I wanted to have this show is because, like I said, a lot of field techs are pigeonholed into thinking PoE is just those basic things. And I only learned about those other systems from me interacting with, here's another plug, the PoE Consortium, right? So that's I started looking, listening. Wait, we're doing that over POA? We're doing this over POA? I was like, there's way more to this than out there. And that's for those who are installers in the field or people who may be running small companies, that's a huge opportunity for more work to get paid more money to do different things. Because a good contractor, you don't want to do just one thing. Because if that part of the industry slows down, then you're kind of stuck, right? So if you do multiple things like POE and structured cabling and maybe like AV, you're kind of insulating yourself against industry downturns, right? So, 100%. So let me ask you a question since you're my international guest, right? Is POE well received outside of the U.S., specifically in your market, which is going to be Latin America?
Yes, actually it does. I mean, we have seen POE application since years ago. You know, we started with the IP, voice over IP technology, and then with the access point, now with security applications, and now with other like trending technologies such as POE lighting, for example, applications for smart buildings. So I think POE is gaining terrain over worldwide. Okay, so it is well received. We have customers who have been using the regular systems, you know, telephony and wireless access point. But now they are seeing that there is so much extra. You can take the extra juice from the UTP cables, right? And then you are taking all these advantages. And that is making them to reduce their new infrastructure cost, you know, because they're taking this advantage. And actually, I wanted to add about your questions about the Cat 3. Right now, I mean, maybe nobody has 10 megabits devices anymore. So if you're thinking about installing a new project with Cat 3 cable, that maybe will cost you more in the future. If you already have a project and you want to do a retrofit, you might keep using these cables, but you know you're going to be limited because maybe you're not using the whole POE magic, you know, combining the power plus the data in the same cable, and you're just using it for powering. It has the same, you know, the same wire gauge, and you know, I wouldn't recommend it. Okay.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. And the only reason the Cat 3 question even came up is because our pre-show conversation we were having, and that just spurred me to thinking, hey, you know, it's just 24 gauge conductors. We're just running power. That's why I was like, I need to ask that question. You know, if anybody's putting any new system, if you want to follow the standards are going to say minimum Cat 5e cable for that very reason, right? So yeah, absolutely, and maybe you can answer this. And this is an unscripted question. I'm going to see how you do from shooting from the hip, as in a general sense, because you said that your Superior Essex is selling Cat 3 and Cat 5e. Generally, how do those two prices compare to each other? Is Cat 3 more expensive or less expensive than 5e right now?
So I'd say Cat 3 is still less expensive than 5e. Most of what we're selling when we're getting into the Cat 3, we're selling legacy outside plant multi-pair Cat 3 cables. Okay. So that's where it tends. Now, I did have a sale not that long ago where somebody was looking for two pair because they were actually using Cat 3 to connect the legacy phone system. But other than that, you know, it's not something we see a whole lot of. Got just a few legacy applications out there.
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes perfect sense for your outside plant cabling because, you know, outside plant cabling, you're typically just running POTS, plain old telephone service, and that doesn't take a whole bunch of bandwidth. So, yeah, that makes sense. So let me ask you another question, Paul, with the POE lighting applications, right? So we're limited to that 100 meters, 328 feet for those people in the U.S. who can't do math. 1 meter is 3.28 feet. 100 meters times 3.28 is 328 feet. It's pretty simple. But we're limited at 328 feet. But sometimes – if you got maybe like outdoor fixtures, or maybe if you have, you know, you got a law office where you walk into the lobby and the lobby's actually like two floors up, but you got to go, you know, all the way up and over back, they might exceed that 100 meters. Does POE limited to that 100 meter mark?
So let's look at the industry as a whole when things become a standard, right? Most of the time, standards lag the entrepreneurship and the development side. So the reason why the 100 meter standard was developed, because it had to deal with Ethernet data transmission and signal losses and degradation over time. Now, we were talking when it originally was developed around a 24 AWG cable. And then, you know, 6 and 6A started using a 23 AWG cable. And of course, the larger the gauge of the conductor, the lower the resistance, right? So essentially you get better signal and you can perform beyond that 100 meters. Now, there are some cables in the market today that are used for Ethernet applications that have a 22 gauge conductor. And again, when you increase the size of the conductor, the electrical performances change. Now, what we've been able to see, and this is over, I'd say, the past 2 to 3 years, is that there are more and more manufacturers that are coming out with their own extended distance solution. So when I say there is no standard beyond 100 meters, there are products on the market today that will give you the same electrical performance at some point beyond the 100 meters that would be equal to what the 100 meter standard expectations are, or what the 100 meter standard would require. So you can go 120, 140, 160 meters, and that cable will give you the electrical reading at that distance the same as if it were at 100 meters. So there are systems that are working today.
So let me ask you this question, and let me know if you don't know the answer to this, because this is another one off the cuff. So you say we can go past 100 meters for certain situations. And again, I agree. The standards were written so the cable plant you install today, that will work with 99% of the stuff that you run into. There's always going to be an exception to the rule, always going to be. Is there a point at some point, and again, you probably know better than me, that they have to calculate voltage drop for PoE if they're going past that 100 meters?
So yes, essentially you'd have to calculate the voltage drop. And PoE says if I inject 90 watts at the source, at the 100 meter distance, I should receive 71.3 watts. And that's per the standard. So essentially, if you have a larger gauge cable, and you're getting 71.3 watts at an extended distance, you're still receiving enough power to power the device. And now, depending on what bandwidth is required for that particular device, hence, let's say PoE lighting system that requires almost no bandwidth, technically, as long as you have the wattage there to support the devices and enough signal to be able to tell it turn on or turn off, which is minimal bandwidth, then the device will function.
So Kim had mentioned like light shading and some other stuff. Does that take the same UTP cable, or is that a different type of cable?
It should all be the same type of cable in a solution. I don't see many projects where we mix types of cables when it comes to actually powering and controlling the end devices that are connected.
So I got another follow-up question for you, Kim. So the low voltage, you already mentioned a couple of them. What about TVs and refrigerators and stuff like that? Could those potentially become because we all know the yes. The Sinclair, yeah. They're doing hair dryers. Not that I would ever use a hair dryer, but you know, you use hair dryers over PoE. What about fridges and TVs?
So honestly, if it runs on electricity, I would say it's fair game. So it doesn't mean it's going to happen right away or soon. There's some big power consumers in the typical home, especially the commercial environment when we're talking commercial kitchens, commercial laundry, in the case of hotels. Those are going to be things that, are we talking going to be powered and controlled by PoE in the near future? Probably not. But if they can be electrified, they can be put onto the same green energy grid. So they're still going to be a part of the trend towards a low voltage, general low voltage building. There's interesting things. I don't want to get into it right now regarding like class 4 and other types of low voltage power delivery POE is always going to be the best solution for some of those end devices in the ceiling that last, sometimes even the last mile, where you really need to branch out from the power source in your building to connect a lot of low voltage, low power consuming devices. But it, so it's sort of a different thing. Like, I don't think you're going to be able to plug a commercial laundry unit with a POE device to actually power it. But you can definitely get everything to talk together. You can use the same backbone. It's software running on POE that really makes that, you know, the POE lighting component unique. Software has API integration. So I think you're actually going to see holistic building management come before potentially like a true like POE low voltage 100% in that area. But with the Sinclair Hotel, with other people, with the push towards electrifying the grid, I think the potential's there. I wouldn't actually take anything off the table, as crazy as that might sound. I think we're only limited by what we can imagine and what we have the guts and desire to do. And frankly, some of it will be market pricing and the availability of actually selling these components and units. But there's the green energy movement's here to stay. The electrification is going to be here to stay. And I think that positions anything that's in the low voltage industry, because you've got the DC microgrid conversation that's getting really hot right now. All of that's going to be fair game. So I'd say, yeah, if you can do it with a hairdryer, by the way, if you can do a hotel like Hotel Marcel that's all electrified, that includes their kitchen and their laundry, from what I've understood, from what they've written about, you are going to see some pretty amazing things. And in the end, it's really, if you can't technically connect it and plug it in with a POE cable, you can still connect it to that software that's controlling it. So there's no you're going to get to the point where there's no reason to have six different building operation systems. You're going to be down to maybe three and then two. And I really think the goal is someday to have that one application to manage your, see your entire building.
So I've never heard the name Marcel. Is that another hotel in addition to the Sinclair?
Yes, that's a very green energy hotel. It's in Connecticut. I'm not an expert on it, but I'd say if someone's really interested, it's a very interesting case study of what can happen when there is an architect, owner, developer who has a vision. And the vision was that sustainability component. So technically, using their solar panels over the parking lot and on the ceiling of the hotel, they can generate the amount of energy that hotel consumes in a year in Connecticut. It's seasonal, so there's times they're sending energy back to the grid and they're taking energy from the grid. But that means they're actually, I think they're one of the first or the first net zero hotel, truly net zero hotel in the United States.
Is that a case study online somewhere?
Yep, you just need to type in Hotel Marcel. If you need to get more specific, it's in New Haven, Connecticut.
Okay, cool. I'll make sure I'll put the link down below, because like I said, I'd never heard that before. So I wasn't going to ask you specifics about it, because that wasn't one of our questions that we covered.
And we don't need to get into it. They're very public about a lot of what they're doing. They have POE lighting in their facility. So POE is a big component of how they make this happen.
Right. Miguel, question for you. What are some of the benefits to use the same cable from your regular data cut cabling for other integrations such as POE lighting or automation?
Well, I think it's pretty much about the installation time and the cost of the installation. In our own cases, we've been running just UTP for access point in the big warehouses. And it's, you know, faster and it's easier. And you actually, you have the same low voltage technician to do it. You don't need to install an extra power wiring or, you know, the distribution system for the extra power in the, you know, the remote devices. So I think it's pretty much about time and cost.
Yeah, those are actually great points, because customers always tell you they don't necessarily want the cheap, they want the best install, but it always boils down to price every single time. Yeah, every single time, right? So Paul, let me ask you a question. Is POE, especially when you get to the 90 watt stuff, is it safe? I mean, because there's a lot of talk right now about, in some areas of the country, making the PoE stuff fall under the electricians instead of the low voltage stuff. I don't know if that's politically driven, people trying to protect their work for their unions, or if there is indeed a safety concern. So you tell me, is PoE safe?
Yes, PoE is safe. Safe to the human touch. Matter of fact, one of the demos that I do, and I've done this before using MHT's PoE lighting, is I'll actually hook up the light to the switch. There's up to 90 watts of power there. I'll unscrew the light bulb and I'll stick my finger in the socket and show that it is PoE is safe to the human touch.
And that was a bad prank. Here, stick your finger in this.
And it's amazing when you first show that one, how many people have that reaction that they instantly jump back. But no, PoE is based on human safety, right? It's one of the things. You will not get an electrical shock from it because it uses very low current. Now, when you do run PoE, some of the things that you do need to look out for is do some extra calculations as far as your bundle size and the heat based on what you're actually going to be running over it. And you want to make sure that your devices, your switches, injectors, any power devices, they're rated and tested for the power levels required to prevent overheating or damage, right? So you need to use the appropriate cables, the appropriate systems that are designed for PoE systems. So as long as you do that, most any kind of problems can be easily mitigated in the design phase. I would say Miguel Angel has installed several PoE systems in places like Panama and Colombia. And I'm sure he can talk about what he considers or factors in when he does the actual design before doing the installation.
You want to expand on that, Miguel?
Yes, indeed. There's certain considerations you need to take when designing and installing these PoE systems. For example, as Paul said, the cabling bundles are, you can exceed the 24 cables inside one bundle. And the trays or the if you're using plastic or metallic tubing, you need to take that in consideration. It is important. And it's also important to take consideration about distance, because as early questions, we were talking about exceeding the 100 meters. And it is also important to pull that cables, that long cables out there. You need to design it well, because it is a matter of how this system will be like stable, like reliable in the future. I mean, for example, if you have this IP phone, it is an emergency phone, and it has an intermittent connection. I mean, you need to be responsible as a designer, as an installer, okay, to have this this well designed system and take all the heat and the distance consideration for these cables. Okay.
Excellent answer. That's why you're the best. You are absolutely the best. So Kim, you're my marketing guru, right?
Thank you.
Not a problem. And so let me ask you this: where do you see the PoE market going, both inside and outside the U.S.?
Inside the U.S., it is, I believe we're seeing a lot of momentum. When I was speaking with PoE consortium members this past February, it sounds like a lot of projects are happening with a lot of members, momentum's taking off, adoption's happening more in more geographically dispersed areas of the United States. You know, my company is based out of New York. We see a lot of activity in New York. If you can do it in New York with the regulations and what they've got there, you can frankly do it everywhere. But, you know, we're starting to see it along basically all the coasts and starting to see projects in every metro area. I think it's really, you know, for all this talk of when is it going to take off, it's taking off. So we're seeing it in the United States taking off. That is a market I'm most personally familiar with. I keep an eye on the global market. So, but what I'll offer you from a global perspective is going to be a little more opinionated. I think the globally, you know, there's different pressures than in the US. We do have some increased subsidies and tax benefits now for green energy and the green transition, and POE is getting swept along in that. So that is helping with the momentum. But there are other parts of the world that have been further ahead in pushing for stricter environmental and sustainability elements sooner. So we're seeing a lot more activity in Europe. I think from anecdotally, what I'm hearing is I'm seeing a little more blended activity. So there are protocols out there like Dolly, class four. There's other types of low voltage infrastructure that's getting played with, I think, more internationally. But POE is the tried and true. It's a universal standard. And when we talk to international companies, if they're going to start adopting POE for a headquarters in the US, they're already thinking, looking for adopting that technology internationally. So I think that the international components of what POE is, the standardization of it, is really going to be an asset. I think you could see some really interesting innovation internationally. And there's parts of the world that are developing rapidly. There's a lot of building going on, and they're looking to skip some of the old mistakes that, you know, we had in the US over the decades, right? As we've been innovating, there's no reason today that countries that are rapidly developing should adopt some of that old, less efficient design, less efficient devices, running on coal or gas power when they can go electrify it from the start. And so I think it's that leapfrogging element of skipping into something more energy efficient that's attractive, and everyone's connected. So the connectedness of the IoT device world is hugely appealing as well. And that's a big selling point internationally. So that's my opinion. I think it's been interesting to keep an eye on it. COVID really threw a lot of things up in the air, accelerated it in some areas in terms of the adoption of POE, slowed it down in others. So I think we're seeing a normalization, whatever that might be, of the market when it comes to POE adoption. So we're seeing who's really embracing it and who's not.
So in your opinion, and if you don't know, just tell me you don't know, who is normalizing POE faster, us or the US or outside of the US?
Oh, that's totally debatable. So I don't know, but I always have opinions. So I'll share some opinions. And then I think actually Paul and Miguel could answer as well. I do think that what's interesting, I live in the Midwest of the United States. Technically, energy is very cheap here. So in the Midwest, adoption has been pretty slow. So wherever you've seen energy prices be really high, which once you learn about the Latin American market, for example, energy is actually very expensive in a lot of these countries. So there's a big incentive to figure out how to really minimize your energy costs. And that's been pushing innovation in a way that I've seen more, you know, more talk and more interest in POE adoption from Latin America than I think someone not familiar with this market would expect. But trace the map, find where energy is really high, you're probably going to find advanced POE conversations or more advanced installations of it in those markets.
That makes perfect sense. Miguel, how do you feel? Because she was my U.S. perspective. You're my outside the U.S. perspective. Are you guys ahead of us?
No, I don't think so. I mean, these are the trending of using POE is, I think, it's worldwide, actually. But in certain Latin American countries, this specific economics allows you to, you know, to grow specific industries. For example, Mexico and Chile are right now like the biggest country where the smart building industries is developing. I mean, you see professional associations only talking about smart buildings. I mean, there is an industry, a small industry, they are growing. So there is the need to use this new usage of their regular, the legacy cabling system, you know, because after COVID and the need for faster, more reliable communication, you know, the 5G expansion worldwide, is making these specific economies to grow with a certain industry. And for example, POE is, I mean, it's not new actually, but the industry is trying to get this extra juice from the existing UTP cables, from the new UTP installations, because fiber optics is everywhere, right? So you need to use the UTPs for the newest technologies, for example, PoE lighting, BAS, I mean, smart building control, okay, or building automation systems. So this industry are taking the extra mile from the UTP industry, and you see it also from the manufacturing side. I mean, you see right now these network switches vendors developing like more PoE plus, I mean 90 watts per port new switches that you're seeing in almost every manufacturer has its new release about this kind of switches, okay? And now they say like a PoE lighting ready or something like that, okay? And now you also see the UTP manufacturers speaking more about extended distances and maybe class 4, type 4 ready, PPPoE ready cables. So I think it's growing worldwide, okay?
So let me hit you up with that last question, Miguel. Are we really changing the scope from the regular low voltage checkout in the field now they're installing electrical devices?
Well, polemic. I don't know if you say it in English question, because it depends on how's every country is managed. For example, I know that in the U.S., the low voltage technician has some, you know, specific scopes, specific certifications, and it just can't switch to the electrical trade, right? So, but in, for example, I know that in the U.S., this is like, you know, like a whole other conversation, but in Latin America, it's kind of different because you have also, in certain countries, you have a specific certified electrical technicians or certified low voltage technicians. But in most of the countries, they are kind of the same, you know. And actually, that is kind of like a war, okay? Because when you are installing structure cabling, you are frequently, you see an electrician just pulling the cables or, you know, or punching the connectors, and it doesn't have the appropriate training to do it. So I think that these technologies won't replace like the major electricians when they have these, you know, the panel boards and the electrical design per se for, you know, higher consumption like HVAC or other, you know, medium or high voltage systems. But for the low voltage industry, I think we will be having like a mixed scope technicians in the future.
Excellent. Excellent. Great show, ladies and gentlemen. I appreciate you guys taking time to come on today. The far as I'm concerned, we're at the ground floor of PoE. We really are. And there's a lot of stuff coming down the pike. And if anybody's going to be in this industry for 15, 20, 30 years still, not me because I'm too old, but you know, you might want to start paying attention and learning all the other stuff that we're doing here. So I appreciate everybody coming on today. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us, Chuck.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's it for this episode of today's podcast. We hope you were able to learn something. Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss out on future content. Also, leave a rating so we can help even more people learn about telecommunications. Until next time, be safe.